The Senate passed the budget, similar to what the budget was last year, sent it over here. We could vote on that and get those dollars out to every provider, get it out to the counties, get it out to everybody that at the same level as last year, and we could come back and continue to negotiate the new spending. But the House Democrats have not put that up for a vote.
This is Talking with Doyle with State Representative Doyle Heffley. And for the first time, we'd like to introduce co-host Andrew Forgotch. What are we talking about today?
Well, Doyle, I know I'm new to this role and I have some shoes to fill with Hunter leaving. But as a former reporter, I see my role here as the person who asks the questions that get you talking. And what people are talking about right now is a state budget or a lack of a state budget. So I just wanted to get your perspective about where do we stand as of today.
Well, currently we're about 3 months behind on getting a state budget done. It's very disappointing. Governor, who wants to run around the state of Pennsylvania saying Governor, get stuff done, has yet to get a budget done on time. And not only not get a budget done on time, but really, I don't even know that we're real close right now. And it's disappointing, right? I mean, Pennsylvanians need that. Need to know that government is getting their jobs done, and we have a constitutional obligation. I'm ready to vote today, vote tomorrow on a budget that's balanced, doesn't raise taxes on the residents of Pennsylvania, and that delivers on those essential needs that government should be filling: education, human services, intellectual disabilities, making sure that those providers are getting their funding, making sure our roads and bridges are safe to pass. And it's disappointing that that we're at this point. And we haven't got it done yet. We haven't even really, I mean, the governor's proposal was was over the top, was never going to get done.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really come down from that. So I'm disappointed that we're in this position that we're in.
We had some news a couple of weeks ago when the Appropriations Committee met back here in Harrisburg voting on a budget, the budget that was passed last year. What's the roadblock now? Why are we still waiting? You're willing to come back. Why are we waiting? Who are we waiting on?
Really, we're waiting on the Democratic leadership in the state House, that one vote majority. They say a humble majority, gerrymandered majority is what I call it. But really, if you look at why we're here, and I talked a little bit about this in the last podcast, it was the redistricting, the gerrymandering that went on in that redistricting, how they packed the districts, the makeup of the current House is a big reason why we don't have a budget. But aside from that, so the Senate passed the budget, similar to what the budget was last year, sent it over here. The House could pass it. We could vote on that and get those dollars out to every provider, get it out to the counties, get it out to everybody that at the same level as last year, and we could come back and continue to negotiate the new spending. But the House Democrats have not put that up for a vote. I think it would definitely pass. I mean, that would be something that people could get behind and say, let's get these dollars out. We know there's not a permanent, a final agreement between the governor and the Senate and the House Democrats, but that could be done. That could be done tomorrow, quite honestly.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, we are waiting on House Democrats because what was passed is last year's budget that would get money flowing to schools, counties, so on and so forth. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we get those dollars out the door. So your Victims Resource Center, your children and youth, intellectual disabilities, all those providers that provide those services and those counties that have to administer those services right now have to go out and take out loans, and then taxpayers are going to have to pay that back with interest. So this is, it doesn't need to be this way. The Senate passed a budget. We get these dollars out there right now. Maybe I know it's not what everybody wants, but we could get that done, and then we can negotiate farther. But right now, I've really seen an unwillingness for the governor to really get overly involved in this process, and that's what it's going to take to get it done. He wants to be governor to get stuff done. Well, he hasn't shown anything yet. He needs to be more focused on Pennsylvania instead of Pennsylvania Avenue, right? He seems to have his sights set on higher aspirations politically. Do the job that you have now. I'm here. I'm in Harrisburg today. I'm ready to vote. Bring something up that we can vote on and get this done.
Yeah. So there's no easy way to transition off of that. Yeah. One of the other topics that has people talking recently is political violence. It's been a rough couple of weeks, whether it be the assassination of Charlie Kirk or the ambush of those three police officers in your county. I just wanted to give you the floor now on a chance to speak on both of those events.
Yeah. I mean, just to touch briefly on the issue in York County, it was just horrendous. It was a horrific day for Pennsylvania. and hearts go out to the families. And really, when you think about it, you know, standing up for our law enforcement and having their back, let them know that, that we're there as legislators, as a society, to make sure that they're there. And we respect and honor the sacrifices that they make in every day. And I would call on people when you're interacting with law enforcement. Maybe you didn't quite stop at the stop sign. Maybe you were going a little bit too fast and you get pulled over. Just show some respect, right? I mean, that officer didn't want to have to pull you over or have to stop you. Or if you're in any encounter, just be pleasant. We've seen so many of these TikToks or YouTube videos of somebody just being, you know, rude, and then they wind up getting arrested. But you're putting that officer doesn't know who he's pulling over, whether you could be somebody that has a gun or anything like that. So they're going to ask you questions. Give them your ID. Show them your hands. Make sure that, you know, being cordial with them. Give them the information. If you get cited, or maybe if you don't get cited, and move on. But show them the respect and dignity that they deserve. And hopefully we could reflect on that as a society and be a little bit more cooperative when interactions with law enforcement come about.
Yeah, it's just, again, a tragic event that happened in York County. And, again, a tragic assassination that happened with Charlie Kirk. I just wanted to give you the floor to give your thoughts about what happened.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Kirk was just an amazing individual. He inspired so many young Americans. Young people from around the world. I mean, there were tributes in Japan, in Guam, in New Zealand, Paris, the United Kingdom. It just, I mean, you listen to him and you listen to him speak, and what you heard was just genuine love of his faith and a courage in his faith, but love of his country, and acceptance and just wanting to have a conversation. And the work that he'd done on college campuses to really enlighten people. For so long, our colleges and our institutions of higher learning have really kind of gone off track from what most Americans, probably 90% or 80% of them, feel, right? And Charlie was able to connect with those folks on campus and really come back to education should be about those that are learning, not about those that are instructing, right? And I think what Charlie offered to this nation was a fresh, clear voice and a new perspective. And to be murdered by somebody who hated him, just pure hatred of him because of his values and his beliefs. And that's a sad day for this country. And I do feel that we should honor and recognize Charlie Kirk and people like that. I mean, we've seen other political violence, and I'm opposed to all political violence, right? As somebody who has dedicated my life to public service and running for office and doing the best job that I can for the people back in my district, I understand that sometimes people, maybe they don't agree with everything that I do, but, you know, we're always there to listen and talk. And I work with my colleagues, both Democrat and Republican here in Harrisburg, to get things done. But, you know, our nation is at a crossroads in a lot of ways when you look at what happened with Charlie Kirk. And then just some of the comments, the unacceptable comments on social media. And people can, you know, people have freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. And I'm not going to say that people shouldn't. People also have a responsibility to think before they speak. All right. I mean, we had a terrible situation when somebody who was with mental health issues had, you know, broke into the governor's mansion. You know, lit the governor's mansion on fire when the governor and his family was in there. It's a horrific event, right? And thank God the governor and his family got out. Nobody said, well, you know, the governor maybe had it coming. No, he didn't have that. Nobody does, right? Charlie Kirk, when I see comments, especially by people in education and teachers, for example, teachers should be leaders in their communities. They should be leaders to their students. They should put their students and their community above their personal thoughts, and definitely should think before they put comments out on Facebook. But for a teacher to say, it's tragic what happened, but there's no buts. It's an awful situation. Because if they're going to put stuff like that on Facebook, what are they saying in the classroom? How are they being neutral in instruction and teaching kids how to read, write, do arithmetic, teaching about world history in an objective way? Because, you know, there's kids that are Democrats, kids that are Republicans. Political violence, I mean, you go back to the assassination of Robert Kennedy, assassination of JFK. I grew up in a household that had a picture of John F. Kennedy on the wall, like my entire childhood. Mm-hmm. And you know, you look back at that, and I would compare this assassination with that. I mean, he was an immensely popular person. He was a role model for so many, a genuinely sincere person, and to be gunned down just out of pure hatred of him. And anybody that would say that he had it coming or any buts in there What do they think of everybody else? What do they think of people that, that maybe reflect his views? And that's not acceptable. We have to come together and say, there's a lot of views in this nation, and we need to come together and agree on what we can agree and move on.
What's your message moving forward? How do we do that?
I think the message moving forward is what Charlie Kirk stood for and talked about, was coming together for a conversation. You know, being having that freedom of speech, the freedom to talk, freedom to express opposing views and debate and bring up issues, but real issues, not, you know, so often we got the, you know, somebody watches this news station or that news station, you know how they vote. I try to look at everything. Obviously, people know where I stand on my conservative values and what my beliefs are. But as a nation, we need to understand that we're not all going to agree on everything. And what do? We live in the greatest country in the world. We have every opportunity to be successful. And people are still crawling through the desert, swimming from islands to try to get to this shore for the opportunities that we have, the opportunities abound. I was talking to some business folks in Carbon County, and they said, you know, we're talking about, you know, politics and how that much they support some of the things that we're doing here in Harrisburg, the more conservative approach to businesses and freedom. And they said, we left a socialist country to come here for opportunity and be successful. And these folks came here with nothing, and they have businesses and they're successful in this country. So why would we want to go back to socialism? The people that want that type of government, they've never lived in it. So we are still that beacon of opportunity, and we need to make sure that we're providing every opportunity to those individuals that are born here and raised here to also be successful, because the American dream is achievable for anybody, no matter where you come from, no matter what your opportunities are in life. You can achieve the American dream. It's not a given. But you can do it through hard work, dedication, and if you fall down, you get back up. Yeah. And I think that's what Charlie Kirk spoke about. That's what he inspired people to be the best that they could be. And also, you know, in support of families. And I think that's another thing that sometimes we lose sight of as we debate things in government, is at the end of the day, this is about, you know, our nation is about, you know, people want to grow up. And so many of us want to have families, and what can we do to promote that? And that's something we all have in common. Like everybody, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, you want to live in a safe community. You want to have opportunities. You want your children to have opportunities, and that's what we need to aspire to.
Yeah. On a much lighter note, you mentioned about families and how working together works. You have an event coming up here in October, your Family Resource and Addiction Expo. Just give the listeners the where, the when, the why. Mm-hmm. Where they can see that at?
Yeah, so this is an annual event. We started the Drug and Alcohol Awareness Expo. We've kind of shifted that a little bit to the Family Resource and Addiction Awareness Expo. This month, September, is Recovery Month. Recovery is an option for those that live with addiction. There is hope out there. There is light. I was talking today with an individual who is 13 years clean, living in recovery, and is living an amazing life. And I'm so proud of her, and that option is out there for so many. And what we want to do with this is provide those resources and information to people that maybe are looking for that, maybe for themselves or for a loved one or a family member, and also provide families with the tools that they need as their children move into the higher grades in school. These things are out there. They're going to be exposed to it, whether it be from their in their friend circle, in their friend groups, or whether they're in the community. Unfortunately, the drugs and alcohol and other substances are out there. So it's going to be October 15th. It's at CCTI, the Carbon Career and Technical Institute. And we want to make sure that people have the opportunity. It's the same night as their Meet the Teacher night. If you're interested in the school, you can walk around. We're going to have a mock bedroom. We have Carbon Monroe Pike is going to also have other things set up. We'll have a distractive driving and driving under the influence simulator. So there's a lot of opportunities there. I would really encourage folks to come out to that event.
Obviously, that's an important event. We'll get all the information on your Facebook page, on your social media channels, as in your weekly emails. And those are Doyle's thoughts. What are yours? We'd love to hear from you. To continue the conversation, feel free to leave your comments below.